the rowdies one there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are picking the grass.
Here's another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Doug Miller Sports Dome, the Diplomat Banquet Center, the Soccer Shack, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, and Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. I'm your co-host, Andrew Battisti. We appreciate you joining us here on this Monday evening. And we also want to let everybody know, just in case you are having trouble picking us up on your AM band because the power for the station goes down a bit at sunset, make sure to listen to 92.1 FM, the FM station for WYSL. You should be able to pick us up crystal clear throughout the off-season of the Rhinos. And you hate to say off-season, but it is now the off-season for the Rhinos. We're going to be on Monday nights throughout the off-season, so be sure to tune in to 92.1 FM and or 1040 AM, depending on where you are. Or you can always listen on the Internet at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com. Tonight we're going to look back at the Rhino season with Coach Bob Lilly and owner Rob Clark, give you all the news going on around the soccer world. There's certainly a lot of opinion coming up on tonight's show. And speaking of opinionated, here's our opinionated host, Joe Sirianni. How's it going, Joe?
Well, good evening, everyone. And I guess the opinion and difference of seeing things make what the world go around. But as gloomy as the day is today, I'm gloomier because soccer is entering Rochester in a bad way, and I'm really sad about it, and certainly I'm going to express my opinion a little bit when we'll talk about the game that the Rhino played, you know, against Puerto Rico at home.
Well, I have to depend on you, Joe, because I was not at the game on Saturday. I was out of town and actually in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and was able to attend on Saturday night the D.C. United taking on the San Jose Earthquakes. I want to thank all the guys from D.C. United who helped out and get me into the press box. And I'll tell you what an experience that was, Joe. The crowd there did not stop chanting, singing, beating their drums for the entire match. This is a DC United team that's in the basement of the MLS. They've had a terrible season with terrible injuries. They only had three field subs available on their bench outside of Chase Harrison in goal because of international call-ups and all their injuries. And then they had Jaime Moreno sent off in the eighth minute along with a guy from San Jose after an altercation. So the entire game was played with 10-on-10. Well, so it made it a little interesting, but just an incredible atmosphere. You couldn't hear yourself think because it was so loud in that stadium.
Well, talking about incredible atmosphere today, I attended the Columbus Day lunch at the Diplomat Party House, which I want to compliment them on the nice job they did. The room was full over there, and certainly I ran into a lot of people that are soccer orientated. People that I know personally and otherwise, and because they know that you and I do this radio show, everybody thinks that we should give them a reason or an explanation why the Rhino lost. And the reality of them, the thing, some of the people were there at the game, and you know they were not too happy with the result. They were not too happy with the way the Rhino played, and they just. They just want us tonight to because I told them that we're going to have the coach and the owner as our guest tonight. They want us to ask a key question: why they lost. So well, I think our job tonight is to be diplomatic, but as we always claim on this show, we call it the way it is, and you know, so we'll try to do that the best way that we know how. the reality of the thing, Andrew, that soccer is ending in Rochester in a bad note. And now we got to wait until next year, and we got to see what happens in the off season.
Well, there's certainly a lot of questions that have to be answered regarding what's going to happen with this franchise, and we'll hopefully get some answers tonight from Rob Clark and from Coach Bob Lilly about what the direction of this team is. I think especially our owner Rob Clark is going to have a lot of questions that the fans have been asking about regarding the league that Rhinos will play in next year, and if we will be dropping, self-relegating down to Division III, or is there even going to be a Division II next year? We still don't know that, and maybe that's the pertinent question. But regarding the playoffs, I mean, the Rhinos, unfortunately, I guess, or unfortunately, they had some company. As three of the top four seeds in the USSF Division II lost. It was Montreal eliminating Austin on a 5-2 aggregate. Ali Gerba scored four of the five goals for Montreal. I said, what a pickup from Joey Saputo and his gang. They brought him back to Montreal, Gerba, the Canadian international, after his failed stint in Toronto, and he has just turned the franchise around, and he may just take them all the way to a second successive title. Carolina winning 4-0 against Minnesota. You got to give Minnesota, Joe, a lot of credit because they played 62 minutes a man down, and finally the dam broke in the 65th minute, and Carolina just put the ball in the back of net four times. And then last night, Vancouver, they knocked off Portland. They went in to Portland and only lost 1-0, but they had won 2-0 previously at home. So the battle of the two MLS teams for next season goes to the Whitecaps. So once again, and again, this has never happened before, as of last year, three of the teams left in the playoffs, the final four, are from outside the United States in a U.S.-based professional league, which is very interesting. The only team, obviously, in the States is Carolina, so they're holding the U.S. flag right now as are the U.S.'s only hope to win the USSF Division II.
Well, it remains, it's an interesting situation to see what happened. I think that Puerto Rico is going to be playing
Vancouver. And what a road trip that is.
So there's going to be an interesting situation. And Montreal is going to play Portland, right? And
Carolina.
That's where, Carolina. You're right. So that's the one that we're certainly going to look for. I think that Montreal probably's got the best team right now and the best chance. And I'm from Carolina, just because we are United States based team, and I hope that Carolina is going to be able to win the championship.
Well, careful, Joe. Today is the Canadian Thanksgiving Day, so
I understand.
So
that.
Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, is going to be joining us on his holiday, and I know he's very happy. I'm sure that two Canadian teams once again are in the Final Four, and we can see a rematch of last year very easily with Vancouver against Montreal. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a very exciting and very competitive Final Four. Unfortunately, the Rhinos are not going to be part of that. They are packing their bags, most of the team, and heading off to their homes, and we'll see how many of these guys are going to be back next year. I think a lot of it's going to depend on the league that the Rhinos play in, and if there's going to be a Division II at all based on U.S. soccer. And that's something we'll get into with Rob Clark and with Bob Lilly a little bit later on in the show tonight.
Well, what I'm thinking that is going to happen is that and what Rob Clark's probably going to say is that no decision's been made until the playoff is done, the championship game is played. But from my understanding is that the Puerto Rico was in doubt whether it was going to go with the North American Soccer League or was stay with the United States Pro. And my understanding is that they announced that they're going to go with North American Soccer League.
That's right.
So they make 17 there. Well, so if the Rhino decide to go with the North American Soccer League, that makes the 18 that the league require, that United States Soccer requires in order to give, to sponsor the league.
Well, we're going to have to see about that because, again, there's certain clues that are out there with the Rhinos all of a sudden showing up on the USLsoccer.com website prominently where they weren't earlier in the season. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, the season ticket announcement was made at the game on Saturday, yes. And there was a significant drop in ticket prices for next season?
Well, I didn't catch the price reduction, so I can't comment
on that.
We'll
ask Rob about that as well. But it's going to be very interesting, and there'll be a lot of news, I'm sure, from the Rhinos and from soccer in general in this country at the second and third division levels. We know there's a lot of new teams that are joining the USL Pro. There's going to be two new teams in Puerto Rico, Sevilla, Puerto Rico, and River Plate, Puerto Rico. Dayton, Dutch Lions, where the Rhinos played in the Open Cup, will be in Division III next year. And Orlando is going to be in Division III next year, the new team owned by Steve Donner. So anything can really happen. I mean, we could see a mega league of 20 teams possibly if the Division II doesn't work out, if U.S. Soccer doesn't sanction the NASL.
Well, it all depends, Andrew, that let's just play this scenario out for a little bit. Let's just say that the North American Soccer League is going to be eliminated. And all the teams, now let's take into consideration first the Montreal, in the following year, they're going to go out. So Montreal is going to be right, just one year. That's Portland, Portland and Vancouver be gone.
Right.
All right. So the power is to be. Okay, let's call them the powers to be. You know, Montreal is still a very predominant team. Rochester, we hope, is a very predominant team. And, you know, Carolina and all the other teams that are showing up now, and Puerto Rico, of course. Let's just say that all those teams, they go down, whatever it is, okay, whatever they call the league. So then it will create a division with the same team that we're familiar with. And if they put all these teams in one division, or depending what they're going to do, because if they form all different divisions all over the United States, they're certainly not going to put the best team in the same division.
I think it's all going to be regional.
So it's going to
it will be regionally based. That's how the USL is setting this up. So you're going to have a division. Say if there was if the two leagues have to merge, you're going to see a division probably with all the Florida teams and all the Caribbean teams. You're going to see a Mid-Atlantic division, and you're going to see a Northeast division and probably a Midwest division, because there'll be no teams in the West Coast anymore. They'll be gone with Portland and Vancouver leaving. So that it will become a much more regionalized league. You're going to see a lot more games. Rhinos will play Montreal a number of times. They play probably Dayton or possibly Harrisburg or another Real Maryland or something like that. I mean, we don't know who's going to be left in the league after teams might fold. We don't know. But we'll find out more about this with Rob Clark and Bob Lilly. We'll talk about the players and see what's going to happen in the off season. And next up, we're going to have District Zero, Dick Howard. I'm sure he has information about what's going on up in Canada and what he's hearing about this what's going to happen next season. We'll get all the international news as well here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass and your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, your locally owned and operated full-service auto parts store, has serviced Rochester area consumers for over 50 years. New Way stocks a full line of AC Delco and Motorcraft parts, along with Wix filters, Monroe shocks and struts, Walker exhausts, and Timken bearings. 6 locations in the Rochester area, including the city, Irondequoit, Reese, Gates, Henrietta, and Farmington. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HahnAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Diplomat Party House and Banquet Center is ready for your event. Trade shows, business meetings, anniversaries, showers, conventions. But weddings are their specialty. Service has been the Diplomat's priority since 1957. Quality of food and atmosphere always world class at affordable prices. The Diplomat Banquet Center. One Diplomat Way, 2 miles from 390 in Gates. 647-1566. DiplomatBanquetCTR.com.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe.
Okay. Welcome back to Soccer is Kicking the Grass. Our international report with Mr. Zero Dick Howard is brought to you by our title sponsor, Top Notch Minor Grabbing in Pittsburgh, this and every week. And again, it is Canadian Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, Dick.
That was very appropriate. Thank you, Andrew.
Do you guys cook turkey, Dick?
Yeah, the turkey was great.
That's
no
great.
Problem at all. The turkey population gets reduced significantly around Thanksgiving here in Canada.
Well, that's okay. You know, I'm sure that gives them a whole year to breed. But I tell you,
it's been great. It's been great in many respects. Apart from, you know, I was really saddened with the Rhinos result.
I know. We were
Me
talking
too,
about
Dick.
That
Me
earlier,
too.
And it was a surprise in some aspects, but I guess other people would say, you know, Puerto Rico was a more experienced team, and it really showed in the second leg, especially when they got that early goal, putting
That's
them
the
up
key,
by
isn't
three.
It? Yeah, if you're ahead, you know, with two clear goals, you can get that early goal away from home, then it really puts the home team behind the eight ball. But let's not forget, you know, this is a team that beat the LA Galaxy 4-1 in the qualifying rounds for the CONCACAF Champions League, and certainly doing very well in that tournament. So, as you rightly mentioned, Colin Clark, you know, very experienced squad, and I obviously didn't see the games, but were they deserving winners, you think, overall?
Well, you know, Dick, my perspective of the game was that as the game began, Puerto Rico showed, you know, let me just back up a little bit. First of all, the way I heard, is that Puerto Rico had a lot of trouble coming to Rochester. Some of the players didn't arrive until Saturday, and as well as the coach, I understand. So there was rumor that they wanted to postpone the game until Sunday, which was not to be had. The reality of the thing, when the game started at 7 o'clock, all the players were there for Puerto Rico and all the players were there for Rochester. So the game began, and as the whistle blew, you would think that Puerto Rico was losing 2-0 because their hustle was tremendous. You know, they attacked every ball, they attacked their they played with desire, they played to win, and consequently they were successful at scoring the third goal. And you know, you would think that after that the Rhino will fold, but they didn't, and lots of credit to them. They scored a goal that Godet and his defender, you know, they misplayed. So it was kind of one those cheap goals that, you know, but they counted. And they recouped, that Rhino recouped in the second half. They had many opportunities, but there was never never the a good opportunity to put the ball in the net. And unless the ball goes in the net, nothing counts.
So well, that's the key. And when you mentioned that about how well organized they were, I remember a game they played here in Toronto. They got a scoreless tie here at BMO Field in the CONCACAF Champions League a couple year ago, and they really impressed me with their overall organization. With regards to that, they came very well prepared, and as you say, the experience. But it's making, obviously, for an interesting end to the season, because Montreal, with their result in Austin, and Vancouver getting good results there, that maybe could it be a Montreal-Vancouver final?
Yes, it can.
That's what we talked about before.
Vancouver plays Puerto Rico, and Montreal plays Carolina. I think Vancouver played Puerto Rico last year, if I remember right. I remember that was that long road trip.
That's some travel, isn't it? When you mentioned about the difficulties of Puerto Rico coming up to Rochester, can you imagine coming from the Pacific Northwest and traveling down to Puerto Rico?
I think it's the longest.
I know I have to travel down to Puerto Rico two or three times a year, and it's not easy.
Yeah, I believe it's distance wise the longest trip in all of professional sports in North America. Puerto Rico to Vancouver, so
it's going to be
a challenge. I think that Montreal right now looks awfully good. I mean, you got to give Joey Saputo a lot of credit for bringing in Ali Gerba, because he's just turned that whole team around. I mean, he's leading Montreal. He's carrying him on his back right now with four goals out of the five scored against Austin. It's just an incredible performance. And
I'm delighted for Ali, because he was very disappointed when he was let go by Toronto FC, and bouncing back in this fashion is one way of telling one of your former clubs that, look, I can still play, I can still score goals. And in respect of Ali Gerber, of course, that's great for the Canadian national team, who got a good result. I don't know if you saw that result with Canada in the Ukraine, ahead 2-0, and finally it was a 2-2 tie, but that's a good result for the national team.
Right, Ukraine today lost to Brazil 2-0, so it was pretty much dominant by the Brazilians, but still, it was only 2-0. It wasn't a complete blowout. But Dick, you mentioned Toronto FC. They were officially eliminated from the playoff contention over the weekend. What do you see the future for next season for Toronto? I mean, obviously they need some serious rebuilding in order to get the results on the field that's going to match the results on the business side and in the stands.
Oh, it's incredible frustration, you know, with the fans of Toronto FC. There were high hopes that they would get into the playoffs, and of course with the final game being played in Toronto, if the home team is playing in that, that's even better. But they just imploded, and the situation, as we've talked about in the past, with Mo Johnson and Preki gone, Nick Dasovic took over. No win situation, really, because he inherits players that have been brought in by the previous people in charge, and it really is going to require a major overhaul to get back to where they want to be, because, as you well know, both of you, you'd be up to Toronto, there are sophisticated fans up here, and there was a lot of frustration, a lot of people who are not renewing their season tickets for the upcoming season because of the dissatisfaction with the performance. And it was totally unacceptable. I think the quality of players that were brought in really revealed a lack of knowledge of the whole scene. And Mo Johnson is accountable for all that, because he was the one that did all the wheeling and dealing along with Preki. So there's going to be major overhaul. So we'll have some interesting stories, I'm sure, as to who will come in and take over in the months ahead.
Any idea who that might be?
No, it hasn't started yet. It will, you know, once the season is over, and it will be fodder for the newspapers. But there's been no names mentioned at the present time. They have mentioned they'd like to have somebody with experience of Major League Soccer, but whether they bring in a director of soccer, as Mo Johnson was, general manager, and a coach, or whether they'll just bring in a coach, I don't know. But it certainly didn't work, and the quality of play, some very, very mediocre players putting on a Toronto FC jersey this season.
Well, you know, Dick, that sometimes the coaches, they make their own destiny by picking players that are not, they don't have the caliber to play in the league. And, you know, looking back on the Rochester situation, with all due regard to Bob Lilly, because he sort had to do what, you know, what the monetary value was there to get players, and, to him and Pat Erkley. You know, they did well, but at the end of the day, you know, they should have picked up, maybe, can you imagine if they would have picked up Ali Gerba, or if they would have got what has been needed for 2 to 3 years, a general midfield. Somebody can control the play, somebody can be a comforting person for the younger mm-hmm. guys. Can you imagine what would happen?
Yeah, as you say, it gets down to dollars and cents, and certainly the top players, you've got to pay the dollars. And in a North American market, obviously clubs such as the Rhinos have to compete with MLS clubs when they're approaching players, and it's not an easy prospect, you know, with regards to that. But as I say, with regards to Toronto FC, a lot of criticism has been leveled at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, who of course also operate the Toronto Maple Leafs, who started off very well, ironically, and the Toronto Raptors, who've also had less than stellar season. So there's been criticism of the overall organization, and they're sensitive, and they've got the money. They can bring in people if they want to, and it remains to be seen who will take over the reins here at Toronto FC. But it's a great franchise, and you hate to see what you've been seeing in the last couple of months, because some of the performances here at BMO Field have been totally unacceptable.
Well, Dick, speaking of taking over, one last thing, one bit of news we wanted to talk about before we let you go is the turmoil going on over in Merseyside with Liverpool and the possible change in ownership, with the owners of the Boston Red Sox coming in and buying out the existing owners. And just recently today, there was an announcement that the Royal Bank of Scotland has secured an injunction preventing the Red Sox owners Tom Hicks and George Gillette from removing any of the Liverpool board members. I guess there's going to be a court case tomorrow, and also right. There's a gentleman from Singapore, Peter Lim, who might offer a counter-proposal, counter-bid for the Reds. So,
well, it really is. If they declare bankruptcy, you know, they could get 9 points deducted, which would make it very difficult, and they're already in the relegation zone. And of course, they've got a big game coming up in, you know, next weekend against the other team in Liverpool. So Everton are hopefully that all this discontent at Liverpool will result in a victory for the Blues, because Everton have had a very slow start. They bounced back the other week and got a good result on the road, 2-0. But the Merseyside derby is always a big game. But as you say, with all the things that are happening at the moment, it's you know, a lot of concern, because if it does go to the lower courts and Liverpool are fined, you know, and points are deducted, it could make for a very challenging season for Roy Hodgson.
Certainly. I mean, Liverpool has not been out of the top flight for, I believe, 55 years. So, I mean, obviously Liverpool, one of the great franchises and great
clubs
in the
world. Stay tuned.
Certainly, but of course, Everton holds the record for longest time at the top level. So we want to always mention that when Dick's on the air.
You're very good, Andy. You're very good with your statistics.
Well, Dick, hopefully we'll have some more news about things next week, and we'll see who goes through from the if we have another All Canadian final like in the North American Soccer League /USL/USF Division II, whatever you want to call it. It's interesting. Three teams outside of the United States are in the USSF Division II semifinals, so whoever would have thought. But Dick, thanks very much for being with us on this holiday for you, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night.
Yeah, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Our very best to you and Nanny.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Dick Howard live from Toronto here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we will have the coach of the Rochester Rhinos, Bob Lilly, to discuss the Rhinos' exit from the playoffs and what we might expect next season from the green and gold. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
This is Dave Sarek, and I listen to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL with Joe, my good friend.
My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow?
Local sports leader.
You're listening to WYSL1040.com on the web.
FM 92.1
and News Power 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Doug Miller Sports Dome, proud to be a family destination offering programs for everyone. We specialize in everything soccer, indoor driving range, golf lessons, rentable time, and birthday parties. Go to DougMillerSoccer.com or call 352-5300.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes. Great price.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Batista here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. We'll have Rhinos owner Rob Clark on in just a little while. But right now, Joe, we have our very good friend and great friend of the show, Bob Lilly, joining us. Joe?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. And I'm sure that your state of mind is just worse than mine. And, so much has been said all this season about our success and our failure and the hopes and the dreams that we had for this team. Can you just tell us, let me just preview you a little bit. I was at the Columbus Day Parade luncheon today, and many of the people that are Rhino season holder, because they know that I do the radio show, they want me to pose this question to you. Why the aerial game?
Why what?
The aerial game, the long balls.
Well, I mean, we would have preferred not to be in that position. We tried to play the first 20, and
We're down 1-0. We lost 2-0 in Puerto Rico because, you know, we struggled to break them down on the ground. And, you know, down 3-0, we adapted as best we could and got two goals back. But, you know, there's no doubt we changed tactics to try and cause more problems for Puerto Rico. We were able to win the game. Unfortunately, you know, we gave up a few goals where we didn't clear balls, and, you know, it didn't happen for us. But, you know, I'm proud of the guys. They worked extremely hard all year. I thought they had a successful season. I don't think we played our best soccer, you know, towards the end, and, you know, it was tough dropping that game in Puerto Rico 2-0. I thought we played reasonably well, and the game was, you know, certainly a game we could have gotten out of there even or maybe down a goal. I didn't feel we should be down two, but, you know, it's always tough when you go into Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Bob, let me ask you about that, because unfortunately I was not at the game Saturday. I was out of town, and nobody got to see the game on Thursday. But how much of the, I guess, chaos down in Puerto Rico with the change in the field and all of the change in the turf that was used and all of the issues with the scheduling and to begin with, how much did that affect the team, do you think?
I don't think. I think the guys were excited to play on a decent field, because the field we ended up playing on, the turf was quite nice. I mean, it was field turf like ours, new field and good size. You know, I mean, obviously there was a lot of moving parts during the week, but we were planning on playing the whole time, you know, on Thursday. I thought we started the game exceptionally well. You know, the first 30 minutes, Isaac got in one-on-one with the keeper at one point, and we probably had four or five moments where we were completely behind their back four and whipped dangerous balls across the face of the box. We stole a ball with Gaudet out of the goal, and Hamilton had a, you know, a long-range shot, but into an empty net, you know, got bumped as he hit it. There was a lot of good moments, and I was proud how we started it. We didn't get the goal. They scored just before halftime, and, you know, it was unfortunate because the second half we played pretty well, and, you know, we get a red card that, you know, for me was questionable. Tough. Guys weren't happy about it. You know, we still kept playing, and, you know, unfortunately we got caught. You know, we were down a man and maybe a little bit naive. You know, we were talking at halftime, it's not the worst to leave here 1-0 down. But I think, you know, we had a passion and you know, guys wanted to try and tie the game and get a result there. And we got caught on a counter, and, you know, it was a great shot from like 25 yards, and we're down 2-0. And I think we're okay at 2-0, but, you know, giving up the early goal basically made it 3-0 early in the game at home, and you know, we tried everything to try and get back into it, but it was tough for us, you know, and hopefully we learn from it and we do better next time.
Coach, the first half that as the game began, you know, Puerto Rico, it seemed like they were behind two goals, or they were behind the game. For some reason, the number nine, I can't think of his name now, but he sort of dominated the whole game, and he was never touched, never left alone in many cases, and give the defense a lot of problem. The second half, the way I saw it, especially toward the end, once we scored the two goals, we came close to scoring, to, you know, many chances, and you know, we were not able to, but that's the way the ball goes sometimes. But the reality of the thing, and my next question to you, is on a personal basis. Have you achieved what you were looking for? I know that you wanted to win, okay, and we all do. But given reality to what you had to deal with, are you satisfied with what we did so far?
Well, I mean, I'm never going to be satisfied me personally, and I don't think the players are, with losing any series, whether it's the first round or a final. I think it was a series, if we had played our best soccer, I think it's a series we could win. Although, Puerto Rico, very capable team, experience playing CONCACAF games. I mean, they knocked the LA Galaxy, who was first in MLS, out of CONCACAF. So, I think they played well. I think it still was a tight series. You don't want to get a red card when you go down to Puerto Rico. It would have been nice to have Max, especially trying to get goals. But we're not going to make excuses. I mean, I think we could play better. I think I have to review everything. I mean, still, we had close of the season meetings, and we'll have individual meetings this week. I have to evaluate the things that I did as a coach in terms of, late in the season. Is there some things we could have maybe done differently? I mean, we hit a bit of a leveling out period. I thought the guys responded great to come back and win in St. Louis. I think they showed character against Puerto Rico. But I don't know if we were, at the highest possible level. And obviously at playoff time, you want to try and, be at that highest level. But it's a young team. And not only young players, some guys with some experience, had some struggles down the stretch. But everyone gave 100%. So for me, I know it's going to be disappointing because I feel like we could have done more. I think the players feel the same way. The game of soccer, sometimes you have to be in the position and grow from certain things. This group certainly overachieved this year. Many of the players, were turned down in other places. And the fact that, we made a home and those players proved that they can play at a high level, I think it's exciting. I think we're building a future. And we did get a trophy this year. The regular season title is not something to dismiss lightly, because all over the world, it's very significant what you do over the course of a long season.
That's true. So absolutely. I mention that often to people that, if this was if 99% of the countries in the world, the Rhinos would be the champions because we won the regular season. But for next season, Bob, what's your outlook for next season? What are some of the things that will be going on in the off season from your perspective?
Well, I mean, we'll continue to look, Pat and myself, Bill Sedgwick, we'll look to make this team stronger. Obviously we have some strong parts and a good core. I think we can, we hope to find, some unique playmakers to add on to, to add into the mix. We feel like we can get a little bit more dynamic in the midfield. We'd like to, a physical component sometimes in some games where it got, physical. There were times where we struggled a bit with that. But there's certainly areas we hope to improve on. And, but it's great knowing that we have a core of players that, we had the best record of anyone going in. Our record against playoff teams was 9-5-3. And our record against teams outside of the playoffs was 7-3-3. We split with Puerto Rico, so 10-6-3, then that's playing the Montreal, Portland, Puerto Rico, Vancouver's, Austin of the world. And I think we, for a young team or an inexperienced team, I think we know this team has a lot of upside and a lot of potential, but we want to be better. We certainly feel like you know, late in the season, we tried to continue to play, and we didn't generate the chances on a consistent basis, and that's one of the reasons why we put more numbers up top and went more direct, and it helped us score two goals at home, which, you know, wasn't always the case, but we felt like we need to go big here and force the issue.
Bob, we want to thank you for being...
Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but I can appreciate, you know, I'm not a big fan of you know, that won't be a regular staple for us in Rochester. But, you know, I'm going to do what I think gives us the best chance to win at that stage of the season. So.
Well, Bob, I think it was a successful season. I think it really was. And I think it's a lot of kudos and congratulations to you and the entire team and the entire Rhinos franchise. And we'll certainly be talking to you again during the off season, probably multiple times as things develop and players get signed or changes are made. We'll see how that goes. But we're very proud of you, and we thank you for being a part of our show numerous times during the season. We'll hopefully have you on again throughout the off season as well.
Well, I appreciate everything you guys have done for the team, and I'm always available to you guys. And Joe, I know you're out there. You're like the heartbeat out there. You let the people know we're going to get it done.
Exactly.
We're still working on it, but we're going to get it done.
I'll see you at the sports club for lunch.
All right. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bob. Bob Lilley, head coach of the Rochester Rhinos here on Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll go to the business side of the ledger and speak with Rhinos owner Rob Clark. I know there's a lot of questions we have for him regarding the team and the league we're going to play in next year. See what kind of answers we can get you. I know you're good at that, so we'll be up with that next on your Sports Leader FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WISL1040.com.
Hello, I'm Tony DiCicco. Soccer is a kick in the grass, and I'm listening here to WISL.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, with 6 locations in the Rochester area, is your full-service auto parts store servicing both wholesale and retail customers. New Way Auto Parts is the first choice for local repair shops and dealers for over 50 years. Shop where the pros do at New Way Auto Parts. Go to hanauto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's hahnauto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Dream bikes aren't bought. They're built, one part at a time, with every extra $50 that comes along. That's why Allstate Motorcycle Insurance automatically gives you $1,000 of coverage for aftermarket items. You deserve an agent who speaks your language. That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first at 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Everyone is looking for a company that can provide quality work in a timely fashion and at a reasonable price. LS Graphics is just that company. We would love to be your one-stop shop for all of your promotional and signage needs. LS Graphics, 1275 Mount Reed Boulevard. Call 436-6370. That's 436-6370. LS Graphics, what we do for you gets noticed.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Batista here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. And, of course, our Twitter page is twitter.com/radiosoccer. And our Facebook page, facebook.com/radiosoccer. You can get there from our website at www.soccerisakickinthegrass.com, where you can also hear podcasts of this show and previous shows. And we will be starting up the series very soon again with Charlie Sciano about the history of the Rochester Lancers. Pick it up from 1973 going forward. And, of course, a lot of stories to tell about those years from 73 to 1980. But Joe, we have Rob Clark with us coming up right in a second. I know we have a lot of questions to ask, so let's bring Rob on now. Rob's appearance brought to you by the Soccer Shack in Brighton. Rob, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem, Rob.
How are you, Bob?
Good. How's it going, Joe?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just a little disappointed. I'm sure you're more disappointed than we are, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And we're just going to have to rebuild for next year.
Yeah, it was a tremendous year, and it was a great learning experience, definitely for me as well, being working with Pat and Bob and actually watching them build a roster, you know, and the experience that goes with that was pretty much, you know, it was amazing to watch. It was great.
It's good to have experience up in the front office and on the coaching sidelines. I mean, you've got guys that have been won championships and have led many different teams to success. So, I know it's for you as a, I guess, a relative novice in soccer ownership, it was good to have these guys there to learn from them, and I'm sure they learned from you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a great relationship. All three of us, we're very close. We seem to move well as a unit, and, you know, hopefully that'll translate into more wins in years to come.
Well, Bob, you know, there are some things that we'd like to ask you. And of course, is the Rhinos going to be here next year, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay. That's question number one.
Good direct question.
Yeah,
there,
question number one. Question number two, where are we going to be? What league are we going to be in?
Well, you know, in the next few weeks, I'm going to sit down with Pat and Bob, and we're going to, you know, lay everything out on the table and talk about things, figure out what's the best fit for our organization. I have several concerns about our direction going forward, as obviously Pat and Bob do as well, I'm sure. And, you know, we'll sit together and we'll talk through them, and we'll make a decision as a group and move the team forward. You know, I've read a lot of things, people saying, you know, using the term self-relegation and things like that. You know, it's amazing to me that there's several people, you know, I guess all over the United States, there's no such thing as relegation. There's no promotion. There's, you know, this, in the United States, you have the MLS and you have everyone else. So I'm very confused at exactly how someone can make a case that a, you know, a Crystal Palace or a Miami franchise is better than a Charleston franchise, just using examples. What exactly makes that better? Because there's a Division II or a Division III moniker. I tend to disagree with that. I think when you're looking at, you know, leagues or teams below MLS, you know, you have to look at their attendance, their fan base, how they market their team. I mean, those are huge things in the United States, and I think those are the components that people have to look at. Not, you know, are you playing Division III, Division II? To me, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't exist here.
Well, Rob, I think I think what the fans are getting at, and these are people that are follow world soccer, and they see the difference in the caliber of play between a Division I, Division II, Division III. And we see the teams like the Pittsburgh Riverhounds who have played here in the Open Cup, and the quality of play between the Rhinos and Pittsburgh, who are in the third, quote unquote, third division, was pretty significant. I mean, we had a better quality of play in the USSF Division II than was being played at the Division III level. I think that's really what the fans are concerned about, and they're saying, you know, that it's that the level of play is going to deteriorate to a level that is not going to bring in the soccer fans. They would rather watch European soccer or watch MLS or go drive to Toronto or drive to New York to see an MLS match because of the level of play. And I think the caliber of players we have, which I think a lot of it is going to depend on what happens if the USSF decides to sanction the NASL as Division II, or if they don't, then we may have a mega second and third division league all rolled into one. So really, I guess that's what might be what it comes down to.
Well, you know, at least from a Rhino standpoint, I mean, we won the regular season title this year. And we're not planning on having a vastly different team next year. So, you know, at least from our team standpoint, I don't see that as an issue. I don't necessarily agree with you on some of the teams from the lower leagues. You know, we played Pittsburgh, I think it was last year, and we almost lost to them in overtime in the Open Cup. Charleston beat Carolina this year in the Open Cup. Is there a gap sometimes? I would say absolutely, but you know, that's on an individual team by team basis, and what does their business model look like, and who's being responsible with how they spend their dollars. I don't know how some of those other teams are doing it, but I don't necessarily totally agree with that statement.
Rob, there is a rumor that Puerto Rico has joined the North American Soccer League, and as a matter of fact, it was on the internet. They are the seventh team, and Rochester rumored to be the one that could make their league or break their league, and that happened before with Rochester too. But is there any truth to that?
To my knowledge, yeah, Puerto Rico joined the NESL. From my standpoint, you know, again, it goes back to strength of organizations. What's their attendance in marketing? That's the largest thing for me. I could care less what division or league someone's in. I care about, are they being marketed effectively? Is there a national brand for that league? What services are they offering the fans? This year, I thought it was short of a disaster. I just thought it was complete ridiculousness. We had a web streaming that was just awful. We had no national TV deal. We took a huge step backwards this year, in my opinion. And then we increased the length of the season by a month. And we're playing, you know, games right now. Nobody's thinking about soccer anymore, really. They're thinking about football. They're thinking about hockey. They're thinking about the sports that, you know, they're trying to push soccer into these other sports, you know, time frames, and it's just not going to work. And that's not just for minor league soccer. That's for MLS as well, in my opinion. I mean, that's just my opinion, but, you know, I have severe concerns about the development of the minor league soccer, basically. And, you know, if those aren't going to go noticed, or certain leagues want to go in a different route, then that's fine, and they're more than happy to. But Robert, those are the things that I care about, and those are the things I'm going to be focusing on.
Rob, we're running out of time here, but let's have you on for a whole show coming up in the near future. We'll talk about all these issues at length. I think the fans will really want to hear from you directly about what's going to happen. Maybe after the season, league season is over, we'll do that, because I think it'll be very valuable for the fans to hear what your plans are for the franchise in the future.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for being on.
Rob Clark, the owner of the Rochester Rhinos here on Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass. Again, we'll have Rob on for a full show coming up very soon. We'll get phone calls, we'll take email questions, and we'll get all the answers for you right here on Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass. And that's going to do it, Joe, for Another hour goes by so fast.
I know. I had so many other questions I want to ask Bob.
Well, so
we're gonna
let's pull those questions for a future show. But we'll be back again next week. It's Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni and Bob D'Angelo at the controls. Next Monday, 6:30. It's for Soccer and Kick in the Grass on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Doug Miller Sports Dome, the Diplomat Banquet Center, the Soccer Shack, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, and Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass